The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with security shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome along to the workroom. This is exactly what the bonus content in the Sissy.pod bonus feed sounds like. For this season of Drag Race España, I will be covering it more or less fortnightly with Charlie Slays, who runs the RuPaul's Drag Race fan page over on Twitter, and who I met at DragCon, and, you know, loves Drag Race as much as you or I. So I'm really looking forward to us, you know, recapping it together as my kind of second co-host, and to give you a glimpse into what the episodes are going to sound like. I'm going to release the first one, which covers episode 1 and 2 of Drag Race España, into the main feed. And if you like the sound of it and want to hear the rest of the season, please come and join us over in the premium feed of The Workroom. You head over to headstuffpodcasts.com. It's only €5 a month. And yeah, you'll be able to join us and hear all our thoughts on España. But for now, let's get into the first chat with Charlie Slays. It is a new day in the workroom, and today I am joined by the glorious Charlie Slays as we get into Drag Race España Season 3. Charlie, thanks for being on the pod.
Woo, thank you for having me. I've never been called glorious before. I like that. I'm putting that in my bio right now.
Dude, glorious. So you'll be here, you know, on a recurring seat as my co-host for España. This episode is out there for everybody, but we'll be mostly lurking over in the bonus feed. So we'll be doing a great job of selling you this recap of the first two episodes. But first, where does España, you know, stack up for you amongst the ever sprouting franchises of RuPaul?
I absolutely adore the Spanish queens. Like, I think there is something there that we have in common with the Spanish queens and like the Canadian queens and probably the Down Under queens, and it's that sense of humor. I just think that there's a very similar vibe in what we find funny. Now, sometimes that goes a bit off-piste, let's not lie. There's been some acting challenges in previous seasons of Drag Race España where I've just been like, I am so lost into what they're doing here and what's going on. But I think they have incredible passion. They are so artistic. You know, they have this kind of like surrealist vibe about them, which you don't sometimes see in some of the seasons that are more prominent, like the American and the UK season. I'm a fan. I have to say, I got kind of halfway through season 2 and then fell behind, and spoiler gates happen, and you're just like, you lose the will to live a little bit, don't you? And you're like, oh, I can't even catch up without it happening. So I'm really keen to be on this journey of season 3 with you and be like, got to be a good boy and watch my episodes and not get it spoiled for me.
Because season 2 is kind of when the franchise pulled out of the gate in terms of, yeah, you know, the other ones. Like, the first two episodes, I think, were like that, especially that talent show in season 2 was one of the most highest rated episodes of the whole franchise, and
phenomenal, wasn't it? We had Opera, Transformers. It was just like, they really, yeah, like you say, they absolutely kind of blew everybody away, I think. And so there was a lot of pressure on these queens, and that sometimes I think is when the queens lose it slightly. When you've had an amazing season, we're thinking, you know, UK season 2 and then the season 3 queens come in, it's a big thing to live up to. And I do think personally a couple of the queens have already started fumbling to that pressure a little bit.
Yeah, I can definitely see that as well. And I really like that this season, the production is really leaning into what the fans want. Like, episode 2 being a whole episode on Eurovision. Episode 3 seems good. It's going to be España's first ball, they're giving us what we want.
And also, how have we got three seasons of Spania and not had a ball yet? What is going on? Because these queens are fashion queens. So yeah, I'm really excited for that one already.
I don't know, you probably didn't watch Belgique, but that was one thing that, like, I noticed as well. They didn't do a ball, and a ball seems to be one that not a lot of the international franchises are doing for some reason. Is it too long for them to film the runway or something? I don't know.
I mean, possibly, and maybe. I mean, you know, you never know what Rue's up to as well. Maybe Rue likes to keep the balls for herself. Maybe she's like, no, I'm the queen of balls, and
we haven't ever had a three look ball in UK.
No, we haven't yet. We haven't had a three look. No. I think you're right. Maybe it's just the filming time.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're kind of in and out on these other seasons, aren't they? It's not like season 15 where it's like 2 years long. It's like, you know, yeah. here's your 4 weeks. Perform, win, and go home.
I don't know. Yeah, like, I'd love a ball in the UK as well. So I'm glad, like, I'd have to double check to see. I think there probably has been another franchise that's done a ball, but like, Espana could be...
Has Canada? I think Canada might have done a ball.
Yes.
Oh no, they're going to take you. See, you're testing my knowledge now. I'm going to get read online. Oh, so-called Drag Race fans, yeah. Can't remember where the balls are. Come at me, trolls. I'm ready.
They did the Seven Deadly Sins ball, definitely, for sure.
Yes.
So yeah, other than Canada. But again, Canada's very close to America in terms of, you know, the drag style. So a European ball, please. You know,
a European ball.
Yeah.
Bring on the European balls.
So the first episode is the talent show.
Yeah.
How close to season two did you think it stacked up?
Yeah. I mean, look, I'll be honest. There was some queens that, you know, they put some effort in and they wanted to make a big splash. I have a problem with talent shows in Drag Race. And that is, I am so over these clackety clack, clack, clack. This is my club song. This is me. I'm queen.
Smash the crown.
Oh my God, I'm bored. So, and there was a few of those. Some queens, you know, they did that kind of vibe, but a new spin to it. I mean, Bestia was amazing for me. I think that she started on that piano moment and I was like, oh, I'm not sure about this. And there was some dodgy vocals. Let's not deny it. But they're singing live. There's a lot of pressure. Who was it with Hornella who did her version of, I think it was Robin's.
Yeah, Dancing on My Own. Yeah,
it was. Wasn't it? Right. Yeah. God, I know this tune. How so amazing.
Like, I wrote down a Dancing on My Own-esque song. And then I was like, oh, no, actually, it's just that.
It's a bit esque. Oh no, it is. I mean, Chuchi, I'm gonna say Chuchi kind of disappointed me because when it started with this kind of Dia de los Muertos vibe and then the two dancers kind of rose up gradually from behind her, I was like, oh my God, this is epic. This is really exciting. And then it went into a clack, diddy, clack, clack, clack. I'm gonna stand here and do the splits and then get pulled up by the dancers. My platforms are too tall to get up again. And I was just like, oh, you've lost me. Like, the originality, it dissipated quite quickly on that one for me.
Yeah, it was a tricky one because I totally understood Javier Ambrosi's critique, but then I could totally understood the frustration from Chuchi, which is like, I want you to compare me for who I am rather than just because of where I'm from.
Yes,
but then I was like, but you are giving all the signifiers of Canarian drag as well. So I was, you know, like, none of the other queens went out there and were compared to Sharon or Onyx, but she was directly compared to drag Sethlas, and I guess that is tough.
Yeah, it is tough, and I think that it's also, you know, being an amazing drag performer, you've got to have that USP, right? That's what makes these kind of the performers stand out. And I think a couple of them struggled on what is my USP? What is my, I've got the stage, you know, this world stage of drag, and what am I going to show about myself? And I think a lot of them fell back on just doing what they thought was a bit of an original song. I mean, Macarena, God bless her. I mean, God bless Macarena. She was...
I have to say friend of the show, because we did have her on the show before.
I was so excited to see her back on the show. And, you know, can you imagine that pressure of being first to go home and then getting called back and being like, for the love of God, please don't let this happen to me twice. And so she kind of went all out with that song, and she wasn't having a good day. She was not having a good day vocally. And also, I don't know what the people trying to get through the Andrex toilet paper behind her was all about. That was quite strange. That was so unnecessary.
Yeah, it didn't really work.
No. And I just felt for her. I was like, oh, don't do this. You know what I mean? And I think if she'd have come out and maybe done like a comedy thing or something, it would have had much more, it would have had a better impact.
Well, one thing I think it did well was that it allowed for these sort of cabaret comedy moments, like Vanilla, Vanilla, I think is the we're going.
Yeah, yeah,
it.
Yeah. I'm with you. Yeah, Vanilla, Vanilla.
Yeah. Do you remember that? Do you remember that UK girl group Vanilla? No way, no way.
Oh my god, Vanilla.
Iconic. Where is that lip sync, RuPaul?
Oh my god, bring it on.
Yeah, she did, like, her skit of the boyfriends in the bed was actually really good. And I think it was good. Well, it was good because it was good, but it translated well because she actually had a good bit of time with it. It wasn't like Derek Barry All-Stars 5, give me all your best impressions in a minute.
Poor Derek. Yeah. And you know what makes great TV? Such a travesty. Yeah. Still not over that. But going home first. Yeah, I agree. When Vinia started, I was like, oh, I don't know if this is one of those kind of really long-winded sketches without a punchline. And then, you know, there's Hot Men. It's a good distraction. I was like, okay, you've got my attention back. And it was clever. It was funny. And it was original. And, you know, it's kind of like when you think of Irene Dubois on her season trying to do the Making a Glass of Water. It's an original concept, but it's about also how you execute it. And luckily for Vania, the judges were eating it up quite quickly. They were in on the gag. They were buying into it. And that's why I think they did quite well in that challenge.
And I know Maria ends up going home.
Bless her.
But I actually kind of enjoyed that. Like, I know they were saying, oh, you didn't lip sync properly in the door, didn't. But I was like, I don't care. Like, this is so new and fresh for me on this show. And it was so of a time, and I could know exactly what she was going for, that I was like, I don't want to, dock this points because I don't want to discourage other people from doing this because it's so new and fresh.
Well, I think the problem with they docked the points because she was completely out of sync the half of it. I think that was the main issue. It wasn't what she was doing because she wasn't doing it very well. Yes. But I agree with you. I have actually seen some queens pull off the secretarial skit, which it's a known thing. People have done it before. And I've seen them pull it off. I think I've seen Pandora Box do it. Like,
oh, she did a great one.
And it was amazing. Maria did not. She did not execute it. But again, like Supreme said, there are nerves present. And we know that and we appreciate that. But at the end of the day, this is television. You've got your 5 minutes. You better kill it. You better kill it.
Yeah, 100%.
Can we talk about Pink Chiroda?
Yeah, Chidora. Yeah.
Chidora, apologies. I'm going to do that loads, guys.
That's fine.
That might be one of my least favorite original songs in the history of Drag Race. This, I'm Natural Candy. I'm from the House of Bambi. She looked like she forgot the moves. I think she got off very easily in that first week.
I think she got points because it was a good beat.
You rhymed candy with Gandhi.
Oh, no, I'm not doing the rhyming scheme. Like, whoever produced the beat, like, I was like, I actually might stick this on as just for the beat, whatever, like, candy, whatever it was. So I was kind of feeling it. But she has such a weird vibe, like...
Yeah.
I think, you know, after watching all these shows and talking about it, you get this sixth sense for an early out. And it's like, it's something in the name, it's something in the presence. And she gave me all the markers of an early out, other than the fact that she walked in first.
Yes, agreed. Yeah. And also they tend to give quite a lot of confessional time to an early out queen because they just try and like give her a bit of time at the beginning of the season. And she was getting a lot of confessional time. But I think that's because probably like me in English, what she does in Spanish is just talk so bloody quickly. They don't know when a sentence is even going to end and she gets loads of airtime.
Yeah. So it seems to work for her.
It's working. Who was your favourite out of interest?
First episode, I began to think, okay, even before the talent show, Bestia is my favourite. And then obviously, there's some compulsion I have towards female drag queens. So obviously, I instantly loved Clover Bish.
Yes. I think everybody, all instantly fell in love with Clover Bish. Yeah. Like, you know, horrifically robbed in episode two, but we'll come on to that, I'm sure. But did another one of those clickety clackety clack clack songs, and I was like, oh, you're coming in as the first like cis woman performer on a Drag Race España stage, and you're doing something that loads of queens before you have done and are going to do again. I don't know. I mean, she made this really valid point. As a female drag queen, she has to kind of go bigger and bolder and better than everyone else around her to really stand out. So what was that talent show thing? I don't know. I think that she could have done something a bit more attention, maybe.
But I also think it is her brand in a way that I don't think it's Pink Shadora's brand.
Yes. Yeah.
I think this is Clover Bish. Like she's I think she's the youngest, and she's 24.
Wow.
You can see her, like, if you go to a Clover Bish show, you know it's gonna be this sort of like kind of Rosalia inspired, you know, ass kicking drag queen. So yes, I agree. I don't love the lip sync songs, but at least hers felt on brand.
True, very, very true. Yeah. And I think that what it did show is that she's got a lot to give. She's an incredible performer, and that's going to do her great stead going forward in the competition.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to go to the queens one by one, but first let's briefly discuss episode 2 and the maxi challenge. It was a Eurovision themed episode, a really fun mini challenge, which was basically like an episode of Pointless, really. It was kind of just a bit of fun. And then like when I the promo of like they're gonna learn the choreo for Slow Mo by Chanel at the 2022 Eurovision, I was like, yes. I mean, yes. you know what those fags wanna do.
yes.
And I then watched the video of Chanel at Eurovision 2022 again, and I cried.
Oh, God bless you.
I was like, I'm just so proud of her. So I had high expectations. Overall, it was an absolute mess. And I think part of the mess was the fact that they were both on there at the same time. I thought they were going to split them up.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, you know what really didn't help them is those shady, shady producers showing little clips of the real slow-mo as they were doing their versions of it. Like, so cruel. So, so cruel, but genius. I love you, producer of Drag Race. yeah, I agree. It was very messy. It was very weird. I thought when they came out all together, you know, one group in those kind of like, yeah, all right, I'm feeling this Core City vibes with the bodysuits and all that. That was quite fun. And then this weird lilac Palmer Violet theme that the other group had going on, and I thought maybe they'll do a little like against each other bitch perfect vibes, and then would go off and one team would perform. And like, you're right, they just kind of everyone hung out on stage. It looked an absolute mess. It looked like no one knew where they were really going. The Chanel from the second group, Paquita, who is absolutely amazing. Loved her talent show. Forgot to mention that. It was amazing. She looked lost. I mean, she looked like she'd wandered on the stage and just been like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, just like she turned around and was taking a shit on the stage or back to the crowd. Like, it was like, what are you... Like, rule number one for anyone who's ever been on stage is don't turn your back to the audience.
Don't turn your back. No, I know. It was weird. And I think her energy really fumbled the whole of that group. I'll be honest, because when someone has been told you're kind of going to be the front person, you're leading it, you're going to be the Nicole Scherzinger, we're going to be the Pussycat Dolls, you're putting your energy and you know, time into that person, and you're expecting them to lead the show, and she didn't lead it. She looked lost, she looked confused. Clover Bish, who was amazing, I think she looked better in the rehearsal than actually on the main stage moment. I mean, she outdanced the choreographer in the rehearsal. If you watch it back, she was like outdancing him.
Well, she was doing it like she was doing all the dances. The kind of, is it the not dirty dancing? Flash dance moment where she curves her back, you know, and she was doing all the beats, and then she didn't really do it in the final performance for whatever reason.
And her outfit was holding her back a little bit. Something to me about that outfit felt off. The great big heavy kind of purple leather jacket, that's not what you go on.
The outfits were awful, really. They were awful.
It was really awful. It was like a really bad Kate Sinera. I was like, I'm not feeling this at all. And I don't know, were they provided costumes, or was purple like the only color that they had?
It looked like they were like, here's the material, you're all making your costumes out of, sort of vibe.
Right, that's so unfortunate.
Because even Vania's team had like the black leotard, which works better, but they paired it with like a red, like Irish dancing style wig. That I was like, what?
I'm glad you made that
choice.
Reference and not me. But yeah, that's okay. I didn't write that down. I promise you, I wasn't stereotyping. I'm with you 1,000%. And honestly, when they first came out, that was my first reaction. What are they all wearing? Like, I couldn't even get into the initial thing because I was like, I was quite shocked. Like, the only one I quite enjoyed was Hornella, because I think Mother Javier's made this comment that you can always tell it's Hornella because of her painting, the way that she looks. She's giving me a horror vibes, and I'm kind of really into it already. You knew that was a horror on that stage. She never didn't do the beat how she wanted to do it. didn't care what group chat she was in. And, you know, and Pink, she, you know, the bread bit was funny. I get it. It was adding a little bit of humor. It was like, I'm going to come out. I know I can't dance. So I'm going to stuff my face with bread, kind of giving me Jasmine Masters back on that Soul Train challenge. You remember that moment when Rue is like, where did she get the bread?
Yeah. I always remember Rue going, where did you get the slice? But I never remember who it is. Thank you for reminding me of Jasmine Masters.
In my mind, that morphed straight into Heidi in closets going, I love toast. Yeah. I don't know why. I want to, can someone supercut that?
Supercut. Lee Dawson, if you're listening.
Yes, Lee. Wherever they went.
I think they're doing OnlyFans now.
Oh my God. Give me 1 second. I need to quickly pop on my phone and check an email. Someone we've not even mentioned is Kelly Rowler. How are you feeling? I mean, I was quite shocked that Kelly came out and did this routine in skates as well. Like, is she genuinely going to do skates the whole way through? Is she going to Robbie Turner her way through the whole competition? I don't know.
I want her to.
Yeah, me too. Only because of the chaos of it.
What sort of sick bastard I am. But I'm disappointed when she's on the ground, when she's like touching the ground.
Oh, you want her in the workroom in the skates, like up in
If she's in drag, she needs to be on skates.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Kudos to her for staying completely on brand. I love the commitment. I'm actually really enjoying the commitment. But yeah, I mean, look, the whole challenge was a bit of a mess. It was giving me Dragaton vibes from UK season 3. Yeah. 20,000 people on stage with a backing track that felt like it was out of sync. The judges looked a bit horrified by what they were watching. And I think we were all thinking that. The only one who wasn't was the one, the Eurovision. I'm sorry, her name. Can you remember it?
Soraya.
I mean, she was having the best day out ever. I think they just like, she was having a great day. Everyone else, I think, including the audience, was thinking this is not what it should have been. It was, like you say, it was a big build-up for slow-mo, for this big Chanel moment. They had Chanel, who gave loads of really amazing advice, at the beginning. And it was just a bit of a major disappointment, I think.
Yeah, and unlike Dragathon, this actually sounded like a good idea.
Yeah.
This had potential to be good.
Oh, you're never getting on Drag Race UK for a makeup challenge now, mate. That's it.
I'm sure they would say it themselves, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, true, very true.
Okay, let's go to the Queen.
Ask Drag Lexa, shall we?
Yes. so some of those challenges, like, you know, as we talk about all the time, you're like, God, how do you decide who did the worst here? Like, they were all, you know, mediocre at a shit challenge.
Yeah. It was very hard. I think, look, Clover came out and did the thing. There was another queen, I'm just trying to quickly erase my nose, because there was a couple who kind of felt like they were trying, you know, they were really going like, okay, this is not the best thing we've ever had to do.
I couldn't really tell them apart though, because none of them were in their own sort of style really, that I was like, and I don't know them that,
and you're right, do you know what, sometimes these things are really tricky this early on in the season, because we don't know the queens yet. We haven't been able to kind of almost pick them out from the crowd. So when they do a challenge that's this kind of mishmash, everyone's doing everything at the same time, it's really tricky for any queen to kind of stand out. You know, thinking back to challenges like Bitch Perfect in the American season, okay, they were very early on, but every queen, like, their name popped up, they had their own little moment, and there was none of that. It was literally like, get on that stage, do that choreography, don't fuck it up, and good luck.
Yeah, we didn't get our Glamazon Airways moment, you know, where we got everything.
No, we need some more of those. How I miss
the heady days. Let's go through the queens. We'll discuss kind of just our overall thoughts and then the runway looks. The first look was Spain is different. So based on
said
it was based on a cliche of Spain.
Yeah.
And then once you saw the looks, you were like, well, that's not really what we're seeing. And then the second
they
one
should have
was...
come out in some like horrible Union Jack dresses and some Crocs and a lobster tan, and we'd have been like, oh, it's Brits on holiday.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I was waiting for that.
I suppose we'll get into it. And the second one then was historic Eurovision looks for Spain, which is then, you know, and I love runways like that because, you know, it's like everyone has a different concept and they go with it, because I'm more of a concept person than a fashion person. Like when the category is like La May, and it's like, oh, this is how Oscar de la Renta did La May back in, you know, 2008. I'm like, I don't get the reference, baby. Like, but if you say I'm dressed up as Ruth Lorenzo, I'm like, yeah!
Oh my God, I love Ruth Lorenzo. I was so excited. I nearly didn't even get the name out. I was so excited. Yeah. Ruth Lorenzo.
Okay, so let's discuss first into the workroom. Pink Chadora. Okay. Yeah. I guess we've kind of discussed her a bit already. How, in your gut, how far do you think she's going to make it in the competition?
I reckon that she's either going to be gone in the next couple of episodes, or she's going to be one of those narrators of the season that makes it quite far through. Because what she does do is give good confessional. And they do tend to love the queens that have that. She isn't polarizing enough to be annoying yet, I don't think. But she definitely could border that line for me.
Yeah, and she also, like, there's a few moments, was it Kelly Roller who was, like, asking her about a relationship status? She was like, yeah, I've been with my husband 15 years, yeah. You know, and, like, Kelly was like, oh, so you've had the same dick for 15 years? And, like, she seemed, like, kind of, like, ugh, at that. So I don't know. I don't know how well she plays with others, which means we might get a bit of drama from her.
Yeah, I agree. But I think the judges like her. I think that there's a little spark in those judges' eyes when Pink is on stage, and I don't know, that's just going to work in her favor. I don't know her history. I don't know if she's very well known in Spain. I don't know if she's a hashtag penetration fan favorite, but I think all the references, I'm even blurring myself. But yeah, I don't know. I'll be honest with you, I'm on the fence with her. I'm not sure if she is going to be one of those we're seeing loads of her because she's not going to be around for very long, or if she's going to be a bit of a like Lady Camden vibe in that I felt that they were pushing Lady Camden as an early out, and then she ended up going obviously all the way to the finale. So yeah, not 100% on that one. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, about Lady Camden, I was like, what episode is she going home on? And then all of a sudden she got to the end. I was like, when? I don't know if I know her point of view in drag yet. And like I said, all the markers of an early out except first in, and now she's handed this win for a 2 second gag in a dance challenge, feels that she's here to stay, basically.
Rigor Morris, baby, Rigor Morris. It really was, yeah. And I think that the unfortunate thing for Pink Chadora is that the fans didn't like that. The fans are all over Clover Bish was robbed already, and that never bodes well for a queen. I think that that's the producers knowing they're almost kind of winding us up a little bit and being like, well, we can use her for that. So I think we might see a few more of those Rigor Morris moments from her.
Yeah. On the runway, I don't know if I like... So her first look was that
leather thing.
But it was like a leather flamenco dress. I didn't really understand what the cliche was, but I thought it actually looked good.
You know what I loved about it? I love the colour palette. I'm here for the kind of tan, black and red. I thought that was really cute. Her hair was drowning her fucking face. What the hell was going on? It was literally like you could just see like eyes like the whole time on the stage, just these little scared eyes, and it looked heavy. Oh my god, it looked really
heavy. Looked heavy.
She didn't help that her shoulders were down by her ankles, like she was weighed down by that.
She was
yeah
and not, then her second look was cool. The Chiqui La Cuerta Eurovision look, who's like 2008
I wasn't
entry.
not familiar with this performer, I got that it was like a homage to that person, but I didn't like it. I didn't like the hair. I didn't like the bad glasses. I wasn't a fan, but she was being that person and doing her homage to that. So I get that part. And did another queen do it? Another queen revealed into it?
Yes, someone did. Visa did.
I mean, I think you're more the Eurovision person than possibly I am. Is this person in the regions of iconography in Eurovision?
I didn't recognize them. Like I researched them for this.
Not just me.
But I mean, I remember my favorites. But like they were wearing what that person wore, which wasn't that nice. But I think they gave me a good idea of if I was to look up Rodolfo Chiqui La Cuerta now, I'd know what to expect. And I think that was successful.
So what was the battery thing? I didn't get it.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
Thank you. See, I don't think I think that if you're a fan of that person or know of that person, great. If you don't, but then look, I'm sure that's like, you know, Spanish Drag Race fans watching Drag Race UK and being like, you know, who's Kim Woodburn? Like, I get that. So, and I quite like being new to something. And they were talking about feathering in the workroom and a guy showing his feather. And I tweeted out, what's the reference? I didn't know what's going on, and obviously found out through some amazing people. Thank you for tweeting back and being like, it's about, you know, presenting feminine and your femininity, and that's called your feather. And I was like, wow, like, I love learning about queer stories and queer terminology from other countries. It's one of the things I love about other Drag Race franchises. And this moment for her on the stage is, maybe she's introducing that performer to the rest of us, I don't know. But what it had to do with batteries and a bad mohawk, I've got no idea.
No, nor do I. And yeah, I totally agree. My favorite thing, I say it all the time, my favorite part about any of them is the cultural exchange. You know,
yes, yeah.
I do really like
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So yeah, interesting character in that I really don't know where she's going to land. She seems to be bigging up herself as a comedy queen. So I hope she stays around for the comedy challenges.
But I mean, she's got to make it for a ball. I'm not hopeful. Judging by some of the things already, I'm feeling a bit uneasy about her getting through the ball. We'll see. We'll see.
But yeah, we will see. Hornella Gongora, the queen of electro cabaret, apparently. I'm warming up.
That was a long
to
pause
her.
After that. We both went, cabaret.
I'm warming up to her.
Yes. Yeah.
Again, I don't necessarily get her yet. Yeah, like the Robin number was good.
Yeah.
She had an interesting voice.
Yeah.
I really liked her flamenca, you know, ninja fan thing.
Yeah.
gave us what the nicer of the two Nina looks on the Eurovision one, because hers was like the crushed velvet pink dress with the big black bows.
Sure. I mean, draggy. I think she gave us the draggy version. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I prefer Macarena's because I quite liked that more couture version of it. But yeah, definitely gave us the more draggy version, which I really enjoyed. Hornella is one of those queens where they are maybe saving some of her attitude for later in the competition. She had a bit of a history with one of the other queens. I'm trying to remember which one that was, when they came in and she was like, oh, we haven't spoken in a while. We used to work together. I think
it was Kelly Rowler.
Kelly Rowler, you're so right. It was Kelly Rowler. So I don't know if they're going to play into that, lean into that a bit more. I think Hornella is kind of quietly assessing the rest of the competition, if I'm honest. And I think that she's done okay in the first two episodes, but hasn't really given us much to write home about at the same time.
Yeah, the judges seem to like her more than I do at any given time. So,
yeah. Are you not feeling her? Are you?
I'm not anti her. Like, in the way that, like, you know, someone like Visa, I hear the name and I go, you're not for me. And then, like, repeatedly surprises me.
Yeah.
Whereas Hornella, I kind of expect more from. And I'm like, all right, yeah, that was kind of cool.
I'm here for them calling Visa MasterCard constantly. I can't help myself. Like,
that
I
was
love
great.
It.
For everything else, there's MasterCard. That was brilliant.
Yeah.
The first one that I think really sort of kind of got me excited, I suppose, was Paquita, who came in third. What was your first impression?
Yeah, I think Paquita, stunning. You know, like, any queen that's just like stunning, I'm already feeling quite sold. I'm like, I'm happy to sit back and watch you be on my television for quite a few weeks, to be honest with you. Has come out with some really, really cool fashions so far. I think she's definitely a queen who knows herself and knows what she wants to put across. Little element, air of smugness, I'm not going to lie. There's a little element there, but, you know, hey, at the end of the day, I think in juxtaposition to most of the fandom, I'm quite here for the drama and for the queens that are going to give us a little bit of a snipe and a little bit of that. You know, we don't always all love each other in life, let's be honest with you. And these guys are here to make a television show. Paquita, I think, is kind of sitting back again, a bit like Hornella, and going, I'm gonna wait. And I think the clever queens do this a lot. They go through the first couple of episodes, they, you know, they show a little bit themselves, they come with some good fashions, they come with some good ideas, but they don't show you everything straight away. And I think she's one of those queens to me.
Yeah, and then she probably should have showed us more in the Eurovision challenge.
yes.
So that was her first slip up, but like, I loved her Okanya look in the first runway. Again, like, you know, this particular artist isn't a cliche of Spain, but I guess it's something about Spain. I imagine it was like kind of more of a hometown look in the original brief, and then they kind of maybe tweaked it a bit.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, yeah.
And then she did one of the reveals where she went from one person called Alzucar into another person called Tony, who I couldn't find, and then into a third Alzucar, Moreno, who was apparently the 1990 Eurovision entrant. And she looked good in all of them, to be fair. But yeah, again, I didn't know who these ladies were, so...
No, I didn't. Again, I didn't know the references. However, I did tweet out, you know, look, free reveals from an LBD. That's amazing. To wear nothing but a little black dress and give us three characters or three looks, I think that's pretty incredible. And the last reveal, what I love about a good reveal is you don't see it coming. You know, not stomping out on the runway in a disco ball. You are literally coming out in a little black dress, and then once the whole thing went like bloody Elsa doing Frozen on Broadway, and then she had this amazing kind of lacy corset number. And I think it was beautiful. I really liked that. That moment there made me think she's got more to offer than not doing very well in a challenge and deserved to get a second chance. Because I think she was very close to being in the bottom.
But she also looked amazing as Chanel.
Chanel, yeah, I know. So annoying that she didn't perform, you know. And she really didn't perform. It was an absolute wasted opportunity. One that I think she probably will kick herself about in future
I think so.
Episodes. Yeah.
And I also love her confessional look.
Yeah.
So gender androgynous in this flamenco-leaning way. Yeah.
Uh-huh. The brows, her brows are so fierce in the confessional. Yes. They are literally touching the ends of her ears. I mean, I live.
One thing we haven't discussed, and I know why, because there's nothing to say, is the mini challenge.
Are we talking? Okay, right. So the farmyard animal ones, I don't know what producer walked down to the nearest fancy dress shop in Spain and just went, we'll just take all your farmyard animals and make the queens wear these, and then made them lay in the driest mud I've ever seen in my whole life. But genius, because it was so bad. It was awful.
It really knocked the momentum out of the first episode.
Agreed.
Because you're excited. They're all in the room. Let's go. Yeah. And then it's
even
this
Supreme side. Looked tired. Supreme looked tired doing that. Like, Jesus Christ. And there's 13 of these to do. Like, you know, even by the second one, Supreme was just like looking at the pit crew, like, oh, I'm so
it's
over
like,
this.
Oh, well, we've had a donkey and we've had a horse. Now we have a bull
and a fly.
Wow.
Yeah, it was bad. I mean, also, in the second episode, though, I'm not going to lie, if I was finding myself in the workroom of Drag Race and then they were like, there's a geography challenge, I'd be like, get me the fuck out of here. Like, are you kidding me? I did not come on here with thousands of pounds worth of gownery to be shown up for someone who couldn't tell you where France or Italy was.
So are you saying you wouldn't be able to show her friends?
I'm terrible. Okay. This is like slight confession time. For quite a long time in my life, I thought Berlin was a country. Don't judge me, okay? Like, I'm. It's just not my thing. It's not my thing.
I'll ask you to speak for your country brethren now. My granddad loves Pointless, right? Always watches Pointless.
Okay.
And he always goes, why are the Brits so bad at geography? Do you have any reason for it? Is it how it's taught? I don't know.
Oh, babe, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, we have no hot geography teachers. That's my response. So
that, or maybe
no,
they're all too hot that you don't.
Yeah, no one's paying any attention.
So, I'm always like, you probably just remembered the bad ones. Like, some woman named a country and she said Paris, whatever. I was like, I'm sure there's plenty of people who know it. Anyway, so.
Yeah,
You would be confirming my granddad's stereotype.
my fiance is Polish and he mocks me for it constantly. Okay. I mean, he's like, I'm surprised you find your way out of the house most of the time, because it's just terrible. It's just absolutely terrible.
Maybe we're good at geography because we're a small island, so we have to get out of here, and we have the cheapest airline in Europe, so we can go wherever we want.
I think most Brits are like, which way is Spain for the holiday? Yeah, all right, I've just got to go down. I've just got to go straight down, I'll be all right. Mini challenges have not been the one so far.
Yeah. Well, the Spanish gays weren't doing that much better either, to be fair. But
yeah,
then they came through with their Name That Tune, uh-huh, Eurovision game, which was a bit of fun. And of course, you know, they got the Deuce panel, they got the Null Pop panel. It was
loved that. Yeah, it was good fun. Supreme looked like they were having a bit more fun during that mini challenge.
Yes. Yes.
And you know what? It's like the cattiness of the Spanish queens. They do it so well because it doesn't come across as super mean. But when they were really, you know, fucking up where places were going, there was a lot of eye rolling and like really queens going on in the confessionals. But it never comes across as really mean. They just they do it in such a good way. I don't know if it's like a Latin thing or something. It's like the passion and the, you know, but they just, yeah, they had a bit of fun with that geography challenge, but no more, please. I don't want to see any more of those. I like the ones in the American season where they make them like tart up a jumpsuit and come up with a character. Like I'm more into that kind of vibe, but no more farmyard animals.
Yeah, no, I think when I was watching the farmyard challenge, I was thinking of like, I'd like to go back and like chart the golden age of the mini challenge. Yes. I think it's like season 4 to 7.
Yeah, I'm with you on that 100%. Yeah. And that one during UK where they made them dance around the maypole, because that was genius.
Honourable mention.
Every other country is watching that going, wow, British people really do this. And we were going, we never fucking do this.
So. It's not a Swedish thing. I didn't know. Yeah, it was so strange. So, anyway, next up was Bestia. Again, my favourite from the first episode. Loved the pink jacket. Loved the vibe, the hand movements. Her narration standpoint. Obsessed with the Serrano ham look.
Oh my god, obsessed.
Loved it.
Even vegans have got to love that look, surely. Like, it was just absolutely incredible. And you know, my highlight of that whole look was the teeny tiny piece of Serrano ham on her forehead.
On the head.
I just absolutely loved it. I really thought that was like such a funny little comical element in what could come across as a very like fashion, almost taking myself a bit too seriously, nun who's been engulfed by Serrano ham look. But she made it her own, and the beat was incredible as well. I mean, her beat is phenomenal. So good.
Was so juxtaposing to her Eurovision look, which was, I think, like some flop for Spain.
Awful. Absolutely awful.
Which was like Little Red. It was just like, she just looked like a normal woman, and she was even she was almost kind of apologizing for the talking head to be like, "This isn't me, but I have to hit the brief."
So why did you bring it then? Do you know what I mean? This was me screaming at my laptop watching this episode when she was saying that. I was like, "But then why did you do it? Why didn't you make it you?" And you know what? You've really shown who you are as an artist in the first episode. You can undo all that good work very, 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 very quickly by wearing something like that. I mean, it was, and it didn't even fit her properly. I was a bit furious.
Yeah, it wasn't great. Like,
no.
I mean, I don't know the Spanish Eurovision entries well enough to think of a solution, but I do know Last Ketchup were there.
Yes.
And no one did them. And they did a song called Bloody Mary, I think. Why didn't she dress up as Bloody Mary? Yeah. You know, from Serrano ham to Bloody Mary, that would have been.
She could have just done Wednesday Addams and done a very cool take on I'm Bloody Mary, but Last Ketchup. But yeah. Like,
she comes at the end of the runway, she does the Sarah Hey Ha Hey dance. Yeah. You know. It would have worked.
You've got to stop giving me these 2000s pop throwback moments, because it's just unlocking memories left, right, and center.
I still have high hopes for her, though. I do really like her.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I'm hoping this was like the dud in her wardrobe, and she was thinking, please do this challenge nice and early. Let me get this awful grey dress and really tired wig. We need to have a quick mention of wigs on Drag Race España. They're terrible, right? They're terrible. And these queens know by now that you shouldn't be coming onto that stage wearing a wig that it looks like I could buy on Amazon. I'm sorry, but they've been some bad wig moments, and I'm confused because, I mean, why are they doing it? They know, you know what I mean? I don't get it. Is it a budget thing? Is it oh shit, I've got nothing for that look, I'll just grab that wig off the shelf and take that with me and hope for the best. I'm getting as angry as Supreme was, you know what I mean? Like, what are you doing? You're on television, sort it out.
Well, like, Supreme had them all, like, the whole judging panel had their boot in, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was
never Anna looking to tell you why you've also made the same mistake. Like, hopefully they've all learned. But at the end of the day, they can't change the wigs they brought, so. Nope. But I think he seems to have more of an issue. Sorry, Supreme had more of an issue that the fact that they didn't, like, you know, glue them down properly, or they didn't blend them. Like, it seems the more, like, the, and I, like, that's a more of a reasonable complaint, because that's something they could actually do about it. And the padding was folding and everything like that. It was
undergarments are showing and all sorts of madness, you know what I mean? And it's like, come on guys, we know by now, like, you know they're going to call you out for it, and you can all go online and moan at Michelle for picking up these things and moan at Supreme for picking up on these things, but that's their bloody job, you know what I mean? And how many times does Ru have to say this is the Olympics of drag? You know, you're not going to get away with it on the main stage. And I think it lets them down, you know, it really lets those queens down, because it was messy. You know, they almost had a bit of a Shaker's Queer in Love moment where everybody didn't really do very well, and it makes it very easy for you to get sent home. So, you know, don't bring the awful grey dress and a bad wig, and check out your undergarments.
Yeah. It's very easy.
It's really simple. Why are we not just doing it ourselves?
Says the two non-drag queens. Yeah.
Sorry, yeah. That's big respect. Love your art. Big respect. Love your art.
But don't critique our online presences. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Oh, I've just lost another 100,000 followers.
Thanks. Next up is Petita, who... he's giving us a very strong confessional look with the long flowing hazelnut hair. She gave us Alas the Thunderfuck, aka Spanish Corruption, in the first runner look, which I thought was a very clever look. And then the gorgeous Agatha Ruiz de la Prada look in the Eurovision runway. She hasn't disappointed. She said she's a fashion queen and she hasn't disappointed so far.
Very true. And that multicolored rainbow dress was absolutely gorgeous. You know, you want to talk about the Olympics of drag, she was showing it right here, because she took that awful dress, if you see the original, oh my god, like what were they thinking putting that poor woman on Eurovision wearing that, and she turned it into high drag. And that is what, you know, I'm expecting from a Drag Race level drag performer, that they can take something that we think, oh my god, that's abysmal, and then turn it into this absolute creation. When she turned that stage and the judges went wow, I was literally wowing at the same time. Like, it's beautiful. It's actually one of the best things I think I've seen on a Drag Race stage. And that's not me, like, you know, blowing smoke up her bum or anything, but honestly, it was gorgeous. It was really, really beautiful.
I don't know why my mind went here, but when I saw it, I was like, she's dressed like, you know, a Brit Award. It was like something that you can imagine the Brit Awards to be designed as. It was really striking.
And I know Supreme told her about the highlighter, but I kind of loved it. I quite like, you know, when the queens are like, just their eyes are floating in space because there's so much highlighter on their jawline. Like, I liked it. I thought it worked quite well.
Yeah, I guess I don't know her well enough to know, is this her thing? Like, even Mistress Isabel Brooks was heavy on the highlighter, you know.
Yes.
I can't remember her as a lot. I don't think she had it in the first runway, so maybe Supreme thought that she had overdone it, but...
Or were they looking for one thing to pick apart? Because it was pretty, pretty stunning.
Yeah, maybe. it was like, before all this lot fought over you, let me just check you on that highlighter.
How dare you come out and look perfection? How dare you?
Yes. Maria Adelia.
Oh, Maria. I like Maria. Maria reminds me of, like, some of those queens who were quite early outs in their season, and you just think, I don't think you were ready. I don't think you were ready for this. I think that you didn't maybe bring enough high drag with you. And you're standing next to some of these extremely creative fashionista style people, and you're just not going to stand up next to them when you're wearing a flamenco apron. And I don't know what you thought this was going to be, but, you know, here's my Gracias fan, see you later. It's just not, you're not ready. And that's nothing, in her confessionals, and you know what she does? I love this high drag thing where drag queens, when they're mouthing, they do this little lip quiver. Great for a podcast, you can't see me. But you know what I'm talking about, Keenan. Yeah. It's like, you can tell that she's talented, and that's why it's a bit frustrating, because you obviously are a talented drag performer. You've got onto the program. But as we know, producers are doing a television show. They've got to pick some to get on there that they think you're not all going to make it to the very end. Otherwise, it's going to be an All-Stars vibe or something. I don't know. So I think some of these queens get picked up when they're not quite ready for it. And I feel like Maria is unfortunately one of those queens. But really liked her, really personal. Would love to, like, meet her at a DragCon vibe. I bet she'd be great fun and very entertaining. I would go to a Maria show because she's my kind of drag, campy and a bit fabulous. But is not going to stand up next to queens like Pythia and stuff like that. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know if I necessarily believe that she wasn't ready for it. I do think, you know, the runway look that we saw wasn't, you know, the most exciting. But she really sold herself as being this comedy queen, and I know she kind of messed up in the comedy challenge. I think I felt a bit hard done by, because she was the only plus size queen in there. Yeah. And I know Clover is a woman of colour, but it's like, it is a lot of white twinks on the cast.
A lot of white twinks. Isn't that every season of Bloody Drag Race at the moment? No, let's be honest.
It is.
Apart from All Stars.
and it is a shame when it ends up like that. And I kind of felt bad you know, that she ended up in the position that she did, because, I mean, she's 41. I'm sure she's been drunk for a long time. Yeah. I'm sure she has tricks up her sleeve.
Yeah.
And I loved that her talent show, and this is, wasn't really her doing, but I loved the production that, like, she was in black and white and the queens were in colour. I just loved that production style. Great. Brilliant. Yeah, I felt bad seeing her go. She's one that I kind of feel maybe we missed out by not seeing her.
And I agree with you 100%. I just don't think, runway-wise, that she was going to be bringing anything that, from the bits we saw, and I saw her look that she posted that she was going to wear for the Eurovision thing, and it was a pretty, I sound so bitchy here, but pedestrian mini dress with daisies stuck onto it and a bob. And I was like, if that's what you were coming with for week two, like, I just think that it was, I don't know. She had the vibe about her of an early out queen. And you're right, as the only plus size queen there, I was kind of rooting for her. And there was something about her in her confessionals. I thought that, you know, she's an entertaining performer. And I would love to have seen, for example, who she might have done for something like Snatch Game. Not that I would have got the reference, but, you know, I think that it would have been great to have seen what she could have brought to those style challenges. Unfortunate for her, maybe, that it was kind of based off the talent, the fashion, and that was your only two chances.
Yeah, I if I could compare it to somebody, I would compare it to someone like Oceana Aqua Black,
who,
you know, where maybe, like, the, and we've had her on the show, I hope she doesn't listen, but, like, maybe the final look doesn't have the best execution, but could pull it off with charm.
I mean, she was incredible. She, you know, her beat looked like she fell into a tub of Cruella de Crowns, let's not lie about it, but she was one of the most entertaining queens in Canada's Drag Race history for me. I think that she's brilliant, and sometimes she used to put down the tweets before she sends them and read them back through.
We all saw that recent tweet about Twitter from Scrabble.
Yes. You do that. But again, yeah, you're right. A good comparison, and a queen that you feel like probably had a lot more to show. But I think some of them get swallowed up by some of these bigger personality queens. And you don't know what's going on in her own thought process as well. Maybe being a slightly older queen, being the only plus size queen, you know, maybe the confidence started slipping a little bit. I think it was very unfortunate that she was the one queen that picked the pigs, the farmyard animal. I felt like, oh my God.
I saw that too. I was like, oh,
really? Bless her. And she did her best, and she, you know, rolled around in that clay and tried, but I felt.
I mean, what a way to kickstart the inner saboteur, right?
I know. I think Rue definitely set that one up, that's for sure. Yeah. She's not even there, and I think she set that one.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I felt bad. Yeah. But again, you know, if she had stayed, how well she would she have done at the Eurovision Challenge? How well would she have done at the ball?
I think there's a lot of alluding, which I'm not sure we're allowed to talk about it yet, that this might not be the only chance these queens are going to get this season. Very interesting to see what's going to happen with her. And yeah, I want to see some more of that really amazing old school drag lip quivering going on. I love that.
Okay, next on my list is Drag Chuchi. She came in. I guess we kind of discussed, you know, the legacy that came before her in terms of her drag sisters from the Canary Islands. She gave us a sort of Day of the Dead style song in the challenge. She gave us a disco ball into sort of like a Paco Rabanne look for the first runway. And then she gave us, in my notes, she was the Ruth Lauren. No, she wasn't. She was
the... No, she did the four looks in one, and all four of them
the
were
Spanish books fizz.
Yeah, it was the Spanish, but I wrote the same thing. Yes. I was like, I'm making my mind up if I like this or not. No.
Well, is it a picture tells a thousand stories? I can't remember the other song.
I love that it was, I think it was Chanel, who we've not mentioned actually. Chanel, I quite like. Chanel made the comment of she wore four outfits and all four of them were terrible. Like, I mean, again, bad wigs. Again, I can see your undergarments. Again, why are you saving a reveal for a lip sync? Talk about defeatist. You know, I made a joke about you don't want to rock up on a stage looking like a disco ball. Okay, she did this the disco ball thing, but the reveal was great because the way that ball kind of flew off of her and then the stars all cascaded down, that's when that kind of style reveal does work. But I think she was a victim of her own you know, drag Canaria's heritage. And I think that, like you say, they had very high expectations of these queens. Now, I think for us as an outsider, we're just seeing a lot of ball queens with big platform shoes. And I was like, I kind of want to see something different. And I don't think even in these first few episodes, she showed that. However, they were all very complimentary about how amazing she was during that dance challenge, how much she helped her fellow queens out. And I'm always here for a kind queen. So if she's a kind queen, then I'm already mourning the loss of her, and I hope she'll get a chance to come back, because there's not a lot of them out there, unfortunately. This is a big competition and they're kind of all out for themselves, but she obviously spent a lot of time helping her group out, and so I kind of love her a little bit for that.
Can we discuss the lip sync to Rosalía's The Special, in which she slinked around the stage pretty much entirely naked?
Yeah.
And like, that is a pet peeve of mine. Like, if you reveal the underworkings of the drag, I don't like it. I don't like seeing behind the curtain, Wizard of Oz curtain.
Yeah.
But similarly, as a penis owner, I was fascinated how that stayed in.
Look, one, this is over. I'll show you how it's done. No, I think the thing.
No, I know the mechanics of it, but like, when she did the splits, how did it not come out?
It was amazing. I mean, it was amazing.
I guess the tape was still on, but yes.
She's practiced a lot. That's all I'm going to say. I think she'd practiced that a lot. I mean, I'm exactly the same as you. As soon as all the clothes came off, I was like, look, you're very attractive. You're very body confident. You're very body positive. You know, you have got the physique to go out there and do that, and good for you. However, I think that another queen could easily have wiped the floor with her in that lip sync, because felt a bit one trick to just get nude straight away. And I don't know, from her, it always feels slightly desperate, that thing of I'm going to rip all the clothing off and reveal myself underneath. I don't know what it is about that. I think it throws me back to when it was Latrice versus Kendra Michaels, wasn't it, for You Make Me Feel, Natural Woman, yeah. And, you know, she was doing all the clothes were coming off and the splits and the wig came off, and then Latrice just stood there and gave that absolutely incredible lip sync. But I think if Maria would have been a bit more confident in that song, perhaps, and really sold the song, she could actually have won that lip sync and not won first. But she didn't. I think she almost faltered a little bit. And I think she couldn't take her eye off of her, if I'm really honest. I think she was mesmerised by that ass.
Yeah, but like, I'm not a gatekeeper of drag, and nor should anybody be, but it doesn't feel like drag for me when it's a naked person with makeup on. It feels burlesque, you know, rather than, look, I think she probably ultimately won because she did manage to move a better fluidity, and but the song was just so upbeat and so sassy. Neither of them did a great job, so I guess I was still expecting her to win the second one. Vania had, again, all the signs of an early out. So I'm surprised that she went home, but, you know.
But Vania gave me something that I love.
It was more funny, right?
Yeah, when a drag queen gives me that Sunday night cabaret in your local gay bar drag, like, I'm quite a fan of that. That's where drag came from. Let's not forget that, the bar queen vibe. And Vania sold that for me. She gave that whole, like, she had every little word down. She wasn't missing a beat. She was being a bit flouncy, being a bit silly. We had a good old fashioned blowjob joke. You know what I mean? It's like, she kind of gave me that comfy feeling of drag on a Sunday in a bar after you've had your roast dinner, and you're like, oh, I'm really loving this. This is, and I'm being entertained. And it fitted that song for me better than what Drag Chuchi was doing.
Oh, I do think Vania did a better job, but I think she did a better job in a way that often isn't rewarded in Drag Race.
Agreed. Yeah, definitely. So
that's why I kind of thought she was a gutter. Yeah. Let's move on to her next, because she's actually next person to enter the runway or the workroom. Mm-hmm. She was a violet bender in the first one, which it took me a while to realize, oh, a lady who sells violets. Okay, gotcha. And then,
yes, yeah. I thought it was like a lady that wears purple. Like, was that what that word meant? A lady what wears purple? And I quite liked it. And I was like, oh no, she's just shifting flowers.
Which I call that a market. It was very, who will buy this wonderful music?
yes, it would. Yeah, but then she got her Selena S titties, didn't she? And it was like, oh, she's a bit naughty. And she's got that kind of sexual undertones to her drag, which comes across in a very kind of camp, jokey way. I don't know if we're going to see more of that, because we didn't in the Eurovision look.
Yeah, and for Eurovision, she was Remedios Amaya, who apparently was the 1983 entry and came last place in the competition. So what an interesting choice to choose.
Yeah. Like,
oh, the country's biggest flop. Maybe she was famous, I don't know. I can't really remember the look.
It was like a blue and white vibe with another bad wig. I'm just going to say it, another bad wig. And she had a kind of orange paddle with her.
Oh,
she,
yes.
It was quite scary.
Quite it was very Mamma Mia. Yeah.
Very Mamma Mia. Yeah. I quite liked the look. I didn't hate it. I think it was, yeah. I mean, all of her looks so far, I wouldn't say she's going to be our biggest fashion queen, if, you know, without being harsh. I think she's got that more campy, fun, almost like, you know, Panto Dame vibe, which I really like. You know what I mean? I like a queen that brings a camp. And yeah, her makeup as well. I don't know about this. I don't know. I think she might need a little bit of help from her sisters. That's what I'm going to say.
Nice. Well phrased.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't feel like I know her well enough to find myself rooting for her. Mm. But her and Visa are kind of like, I never know what I'm going to get with them. So that, yes. There's an element of excitement about that.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, and I quite like that when you know they're not going to turn the corner in the same thing every week.
Yes.
As long as it's half decent, though.
Clover Bish was in next. Obviously, we both expressed how excited we were for a cis female queen to be in the competition. She did her original song in the runway. She dressed up as New Year's Eve with a clock on her back and grapes in her head for the Spanish runway. And then she was one of two Salomes, who was the 1969 winner for Spain in this. Both these I actually really loved. These hers was more electric blue, fringe.
And it fit her.
Yeah. Much better. Yeah.
You know, if you're going to wear a material like that, it's got to fit, because then it fits you and then it moves as you move. If it just is like a big caftan vibe and it's in that kind of tassely material, you're just going to get lost in it. No matter how gorgeous, stunning, fabulous you are, you're going to get lost in that. And she got red for her wig, but I actually quite liked her little beehive number in the Eurovision look. I wasn't sure about the first look. I have a Spanish friend who's very big on this eating grapes on New Year's Eve thing. It's you know, it's a big thing for them, and they all got it straight away. They got the references, and again, it's that cultural difference where I didn't pick up on it straight away, but the fact that judges did, it shows to me that she did her job. But I did not get the clock on the back. It was, I don't know. I felt like
it was New Year's Eve counting down to.
Yeah, but she had it on her necklace. And I don't think, what I think is that I don't think that it needed that little reveal moment on the back. I think it worked quite well as an outfit already. I love that green hair on her. And not many people can pull off Grinch green hair, but she managed to do it. And yeah, her second look, the Eurovision one, they were a bit harsh on it, but I really liked it.
Yeah, I liked it too. I don't know if you saw, she put up a video or a reel on Instagram of her watching the show with her friend. And she really didn't like her look in the first episode, because she
really
was like cringing, and at the end of it, it ends with her being like, I'd give myself a 4.
Oh, I love an honest queen.
Yeah. So, I really like her.
She was robbed in the second episode. She was robbed.
Yeah.
She did a great job. I liked her. I loved her look. She came across well in the whole episode. She put on a show as Chanel, and a bit harsh that she didn't take it home.
Yeah, I totally agree. I wonder how she'll fare in acting and comedy challenges is my only thing I'm concerned for her. But I'm excited to see her go far.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. And I think she's already putting herself out there in the front runners. I feel like her confidence is there. She's coming out each week and doing what she needs to do. Not quite getting the flowers yet, but I think they're going to come.
Yeah, I hope so too. Then we have Kelly Rowler.
Kelly Rowler.
Did you know she's from Torremolinos?
Do you know what? I'm quite shocked. I don't think she mentioned it once.
I don't think so either.
Okay, so her, out of all the looks that she's done so far, I think my favourite was probably the Eurovision with the Brooklyn Heights reveal, because I did love that caftan into the look artist. I didn't like the wig again. becoming like the wig critique of drag banger. I'm so sorry, but again, it was a really bad, what do they call it, they call it a shake in a bag wig in
shake and go.
It makes me think of, you know, those crisps where you put the salt in, you shake them. Do you have those? These are quite old school crisps.
No, you salt them to your own level of saltiness.
I think they're probably banned for being unhealthy, but you basically used to get a packet of salt and then open it and put it in the crisps and shake them up. And every time they talk about shake and go wigs, I just think of those crisps, and I'm imagining all these drag queens salting their wigs and like shaking them before the way they wear them. Tangent, apologies. But yeah, Kelly Roller, she's, you know, I think she's very confident. I think that she overconfident. The skating vibe, I mean, she's already fallen week one, she went off that stage. I imagine it's gonna happen a few more times. I'm standing backstage at the paramedics wedding waiting, like I'm waiting for the big oh my god, I've taken out my leg moment. Yeah, I mean, I don't think she's been one of the massive standout queens so far, but she, again, is someone who could be someone to watch in the competition.
It's a fun gimmick. She's a, I don't know what it is. Her drag is like campy and kooky and like matronly, and it's of a real juxtaposition from like a hot, muscular, you know, guy who's like overconfident and bitchy. It's real sort of meeting of worlds. Her, like, I kind of forget, like, I kind of just can't really gel the in drag and out of drag persona between the two of them.
I think because in drag she's quite soft, it's all quite like feathery hair and, you know, not like the most fitting of clothing. I mean, when she was doing the talent show, I did write down, is skating a talent? And as I wrote that down, she then like jumped into the splits and I was like, okay, it fucking is. I admit it's a talent. But again, a queen with a gimmick, and you gotta have a gimmick, it doesn't always go well, because what have you got other than the skating? I mean, is she gonna wear skates in a Snatch Game? I'm quite interested to see that, if she makes it that far. And just like,
she could be Jane Torvald.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to wait and see, I guess. For that. But yeah, I mean, she, you know, she hasn't massively stood out, but she hasn't completely faded into the background. And I think that's kind of what I've got for her right now.
I think that's what a gimmick's good for. But you always, like, especially in the Eurovision Challenge, when you couldn't tell them all apart, you're like, well, that's Kelly, because she's got the rollers
on. Yeah, and they let her come out and do her little skating moment. Yeah. Like, fill these six beats. Fill those six beats. Off you go. Little spin. Yeah. Come back now. Brilliant.
So... yeah, and her look for Spain was Sandra Montiel, who they seemed to kind of give her flowers for highlighting as this trans lady activist from Torremolinos.
Where's she from?
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard of, it's a place called Torremolinos.
Should we do a little Torremolinos swear jar? And every time she mentions it, we have to put a pound in and see how much we accumulate by the end of the season. Okay.
We'll do a Torremolinos tally.
Love it! Yeah!
Ding! See her go out in episode 3 and that idea is...
No, don't. Curse it.
She seems to not necessarily like get her essence perfectly according to Supreme, but she I like people who nod to these kind of like, you know, four bearers of the queer culture.
Yeah, and you know, coming out from behind the newspaper, you know, I know we've seen it done before on Drag Race, but coming out of like the huge newspaper and kind of hiding her whole self behind it, I quite enjoyed that, because it's like coming out on stage with a bit of intrigue. And I do like to think of some of these, you know, moments where if I'm sitting watching it on a stage, which is how we all normally access drag, you know, not just from the television, I would be like, oh, that's fun. Do you know what I mean? And like little nods like that, at least she's got a few more kind of tricks up her sleeve other than 20 pairs of roller skates.
Yeah. No one will ever come out from behind a newspaper better than Misha B on The X Factor. I mean, that isn't great.
Oh my god, yes!
She owns newspapers in my head now. She, more than Rupert Murdoch, Misha B.
Or Max Malathany, because she was the first one to do it in the workroom.
So interesting to see how Kelly Roller rolls through the competition.
Oh, boom, boom, boom. Yes.
That was a weak one. Sorry. Okay,
you
next up.
Could have gone with skating through the competition.
Yeah, there you
go. Shit, I'm using them up. Sorry, I'll just keep writing them down.
Chanel Anorex Another hottie from South Africa.
Oh my god, he's gorgeous.
Did the Kesha remix lip sync, which I thought was teetering near the bottom now of the performances, I would have thought.
Then
she gave us Ruth Lorenzo with the umbrella and the seaweed in the Eurovision Challenge. I like her. Again, I suppose maybe because these have been so like concept heavy, we don't get a real sense of their fashion yet. But I would always imagine her to be like kind of a leatherette drag queen.
Yes, yeah. And the thing for me is like conceptual drag is great, but was the Eurovision Challenge the right one to do it in? I don't know. I wasn't sure if the whole umbrella and seaweed and sea monster vibe was, I don't know if it was the right moment to do that in for me. Kesha lip sync, I enjoyed it. I don't mind a bit of the gothy weird stuff, you know. And I mean, those Sam Smith critics, if they'd have seen this one, they'd have really lost their mind.
Yeah.
I mean, he was literally full on like embalming Beelzebub on the stage. Like it was, I quite enjoyed it. It was fun. But yeah, again, we didn't mention her till quite far in this. And that isn't a good sign, I don't think, with some of these queens, because it's like they're not maybe standing out enough already in these first few episodes. I think that she's popular with the other queens, which is always going to do well in the series because you want to have friends in the competition. But ultimately, I don't think the judges have had masses of really positive things to say about her so far. She's kind of gone safe all the way through.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like when it's like Chanel Anorex and is about to turn the corner, I'm more excited than I am when it's Hornella.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Yeah, and
for whatever
hot.
Reason,
really hot. Keep him in.
Yeah, such fickle gaze.
But now, no, I am genuinely interested to see more of Chanel. Sorry, on the stage of Drag Race, because I think that they're probably going to give us something different every week, and that's much more exciting, like you say, than some of the other queens who are already feeling a bit one note.
Yeah, so yeah, I could just because they're hot, but yeah, I'm still excited to see what they do. And someone who I'm like really struggling my bias towards is Visa, because every time I hear Visa, because it's such a like everyday name, mundane name, I'm like, oh, I'm not going to enjoy this. And I think I've loved every single thing they've done.
Yes,
their talent show with the gymnastics and the acrobatics was amazing. Then the look as the Sagrada Familia into the Gaudi sort of lizard thing was brilliant. And then, okay, yeah, they also did Salome. And yes, theirs didn't fit as much. But I liked it because it was the first time I saw it. And then they also revealed into that Chiqui La Cuerte character as well. So, like, I don't know what it is that I'm not connecting with them whenever, because I don't seem to remember how good they are every time they turn the corner.
Yeah, it's very, very true. Good. And also, they haven't been massively prominent in like the workroom, in their confessionals. And listen, it's all part of the game. And if you're not kind of grabbing my attention in those moments, then you may come out and do an amazing presentation on the stage in the runway, you know, transforming from, you know, these kind of Mayan goddesses into lizards and all this amazing stuff, but I'm not picking up on you throughout the episode. So having that one moment of kind of splendor at the end or in your talent show is all well and good, but I need some consistency in that all the way through. And maybe V's just trying to get herself comfortable. I don't know. I'm not sure about this one. I don't know if the looks are going to carry them through. I'm hoping that we'll get maybe completely taken by surprise in like an acting challenge or a comedy challenge, and they might come out and really like storm it. That would be really good for them going forward, because at the moment I don't know.
Yeah, I'd like to get to know them more, and especially since they're Mexican, they'll have a different sort of viewpoint as the rest of the queens, you know. So I'd like to see more of them, because what they do is very good. But it could just be the lack of confessional time they've gotten, because you know, I wouldn't think of them. Unless
she's being massively Robin Fierce, let's be honest.
Yes.
She's being massively Robin Fierce. Yeah. But, you know, the only person who can change that is the queen themselves when they're recording this. You know, you've got to give good confessional. It's like one of the biggest parts of the game. You know, you want to have those memeable moments. You know, World of Wonder and all that, they want stuff to work with. And if you're not going to give it in those moments, then you're going to struggle when the episode airs.
I always say Priyanka won Canada on the confessionals alone.
100%. As did Jinx. I think that Jinx won in her original season. Like, her confessionals were great. You know what I mean? And she, and you know, the queens that give those, Bianca gave great confessional. You know what I mean? It's, and so far, really, the ones that are doing it for me in Drag Race España are Pink Chidora. She's giving some really good confessional. And Hornella is giving some good confessional.
Yeah, Chanel's good.
And Chanel is giving some good confessional. So they're getting all the limelight.
Yeah. Finally then, they do a little fake out. And they're like, here's the 12. Lol, no. Here comes the Macarena. She's back. Which I'm glad to see she's back. Because I always feel sorry for the queens who get eliminated first based on a design challenge. Because yes. It's like, there's the one thing I can't do and I've got sent home for it. At least, you know, you get to choose what you do in your talent show. Yeah. There was a bit of conversation about her tan.
Yes. Oh, yes. I mean, well, they said blackfishing. They said it. You know, they're Spanish queens. They're not afraid to say it. I don't necessarily think that it was. I'm also in no position to say if it is or if it isn't. So it's a tricky one.
Well, it seems to genuinely be the colour of her skin rather than like an affectation of like darker, you know, foundation, whatever.
I think there's also an element of, and we saw it the first time that Shangela popped out of that box. Those queens tried to drag her down straight away because they're intimidated. This queen has done it before. Okay, she got pork chopped, we know that. But she's had a good career afterwards. She's toured, you know, she's done things like Drag Con and stuff like that. So she's got her, you know, she's got herself out there. She's a name, you know. I'm really glad she's back. I really liked her in her season. I'm scared she's gonna have the vibe of, do you remember Nadia from Big Brother? So when she came back and did the All-Stars one, she was a bit smug and wasn't that lovely person that I'd kind of fallen in love with. I'm a bit worried already that Macarena's done that. She's definitely got...
Well, at least Nadia won.
So true. So true. I don't know. I'm glad to see Macarena back, but she hasn't done amazing in these first two episodes, I don't think.
No, but no. The first runway with about, you know, torture isn't culture.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I loved it. She looked amazing. She looked absolutely phenomenal. I didn't get the bit at the back with the feather duster sticking out of her. I didn't get that bit.
Yeah, or the white corset.
Or the white corset. Yeah. I was quite distracted by the feather dusters, so I was okay. But I think that she, I don't know, she needs to calm herself down slightly. And just really embrace the fact that she was asked to come back and find out in herself again what that is that made them want to see her again. Because I've got a horrible feeling that she's not quite got that figured out yet. And it might lead to a bit of a, I don't know. Queens that have come back and haven't done very well. Veronica Green, for example, who came back, but didn't quite tap into the magic that we'd seen the first time round. And yeah, I'm a bit worried about Macarena. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what that happy said to her as well, which is like, you're not leaning into the things that we like about you. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, but to be fair, like, she's funny and she's really personable. Mm. And she hasn't really had the opportunity. I guess in the talent show she could have, but she also is like a music creator. So
maybe
in this ball we'll get a bit of personality. I don't know. But I find myself rooting for her.
Yeah, I agree. Same. And I liked her the first time round. I'm glad she's back. I'm glad she's had a second opportunity. I just hope she doesn't bloody spoil it.
Yeah, agreed. Bestia won the first challenge. Were you in agreement?
Yeah, I mean, like I say, I did enjoy her song in the talent show. I thought she had some amazing looks. But for me, look, she won it on the Serrano ham. I mean, a Serrano ham nun is going to be one of my favourites ever, ever, ever. And I just, yeah, she kind of took it with that moment. And it was the moment that people were talking about online after the episode. And that, to me, shows that kind of the right winner was chosen.
Yeah.
Do you agree? Was she your winner on the first
episode? Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. For the same reason. Like, I thought the channel was good. And she did pivot genre, like she went from this sort of pop ballad to this pop punk performance, and gave you like a real sort of range of her skill. And then the fashion of that for Serrano ham, not just because I love Serrano ham, but also because it was great.
And I think as well in her confessionals, I like her. I find myself wanting to see what she's going to do next. She had a bit of a stumble on that Eurovision look, and it worried me slightly. It knocked me off of, I thought this was this super creative, super talented, super original queen, and then you decide to wear that. And I don't know. But then saying that, we just spoke about was Eurovision the right place to be conceptual? Maybe not. So maybe that's what she thought sitting at home when she got the, you know, letter or email or fax or OWL or however they get told what the challenges are going to be. And she thought, you know what, I'm just going to go in there and I'm going to do this Eurovision person because it won't knock me off kilter from the other queens.
Yeah, no, I think that's probably fair. I think I agreed mostly, like the other two tops, Hornella. Okay, I probably wouldn't put Hornella on the top of the first episode, but yeah, I guess she did sing live, which is more difficult. Paquita, who did the pole dancing, mm-hmm. and did the Great O'Kana look, I totally would agree with that. I'd probably put Visa in the top three in the first episode, to be fair.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, she was great entrance for her on that.
Yeah, I think so too. I thought the Macarena deserved to be low, and then Drag Chuchi, and yeah, I thought, like, I agreed with the judging, I think, in both episodes.
Yeah, I agree. I think
except for the winning thing for a second,
the winning thing should have won. And I don't know, there was something about me that thought Paquita should maybe have been put in the bottom in the second episode, only because I know that her runway was amazing, but that was for me a little bit of an unforgivable performance on the main stage of Drag Race. And I think I would have slightly been a bit harsher and punished her for that and put her in the bottom with Chuchi. That's what I would have done.
I actually think I agree because she had a bigger role and it was thus a bigger disappointment.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. And I think they were unfair to punish Clover for what they thought was not a great outfit when I think she did a great job.
Yeah. Good that we're in agreement. Who's going to win?
Oh, not the big question already. Bloody Nora, thanks for the heads up. I don't know. Look, I think Paquita has got something there. And I think there's something about, I know she's just had this bad moment. If she can pull it back on the acting or performance of the next challenges, I think she could go quite far. Chanel, I think they're almost gearing her up for a pretty good placement. Macarena, if she doesn't stumble again, is gonna probably go quite far. And Bestia, I think she's a queen to watch as well. If I just named all of them now, would you punish me? Because I'm just gonna
I'd like to see you try.
I just kept talking. Maybe Visa, Hornella, they could and I don't know. Honestly, I feel like I can normally call it quite early on. I normally have a good sense of just so many bloody seasons of this and how it's edited and how it's put together and what they're showing of the queens. But I think they've been quite fair on Drag Race España, and there isn't really a clear front runner. And then there's also Clover Bish, who is almost like the kind of, I just don't know about her. I think that she is incredibly talented and I can't wait to see her do a more performance-based challenge, because if she's got that as well, she could go really, really far.
Yeah.
How about Clover, you? What do you think?
Clover Bish, I mean, is the one I'm the most hyped for, but that doesn't mean she's going to win. Like, season one and two had such clear winners.
Yes.
You know, Carmen and Sharon were such legends. And like, Carmen kind of made herself clear maybe two or three episodes in. I think that was the same for Sharon as well. And then like all the rumors that Sharon was originally asked to be the host and everything, so you couldn't, like, you could it's hard to see how anyone else was gonna win in that scenario. I'm trying to fight my early bias of being like, I love Bestia and I love Clover Bish, but yeah. I think it might be more someone like Paquita or Petita.
Yeah, I agree. And I just think that you're right. There's something about those two. They are quietly confident, and queens like that can go really, really far in Drag Race. You know, I know myself. You know what? It's so bloody annoying when it's the super young queens and you're like, as if you know yourself. When I was your age, I was like passing out Jager bombs by 10 o'clock and being a mess, and you're on Drag Race and killing it. You know what I mean? And I have nothing but respect for the younger queens that are just so put together. I mean, it's giving Aquaria vibes coming into that, you know, from the womb into the workroom and just absolutely killing it. And they could definitely go super, super far.
Yeah. Well, look, I guess we'll have to find out.
There's a twist. We don't know.
Come back. I was like, I need to write down the twist because I'll forget to talk about it. And I just did forget to talk about it. Is it going to be a game within a game? Is it going to be a Slicky Nut Make a Nash?
I think they're going to do that thing that they've realized is super, super, super popular now and do like a La RuPalooza or however you want to call it. And I think the queens that have gone home are going to get a chance to come back and either form a band together and take on the queens that were still in the competition, or it'll be one-on-one lip syncs. I think they're going to do something along that line.
I loved that twist in All Stars 3 with the Eliminated Queens being a girl group. And I personally believe that the Eliminated Queens won that challenge. And I'm kind of raging we never got it again.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, I don't know, there's just something about the way that they've phrased it in that, you know, it's not your, you've got your second chance, but I think it'll be a one-hit wonder chance. They'll get one chance to come in again and either compete or do one thing, and then that'll be that. And I don't know how far they're going to kind of drag that on for. It might be a halfway vibe. Maybe at the very end, they're going to be a drag jury again and decide on who goes into the finale.
That was the twist in All Stars 3 that didn't work.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, we'll wait and see, but I think that, you know, because I was quite surprised that Chuchi went so early. I think they were bigging her up quite a lot and showing quite a lot of her, and I think she was quite shocked and they were quite shocked. So I don't know, we'll see, and hopefully we'll get to see Maria's little lip quiver again, because I miss
yes,
it.
Yes, one last time
so, Maria. Gracias, fan.
Well, look, thank you so much for taking the time to watch that and join me today. I'm looking forward to getting into episode 3 and 4 with you pretty soon.
Yes, me too, my love. Thank you again for having me. And viva España.
Viva España. Olé!
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.